The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into a new week. Thanks for being with us. Bruce Cooper is going to jump on today. Coop is a Valley legend, not in his own mind, but at Channel 12 for years and years and years. Coop reached out to me a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the Cardinals, and he's just, Bruce is a draft nick. Draft nicks are people that follow the NFL draft so closely that you have to tell them, you guys, you need to go on a date, man. You need to get away from this a little bit. It's almost unhealthy. But I like it, actually. Through the years, I've had plenty of draft nicks. I think there was a time where I was a bit of a draft nick back in the San Diego, LA days. And it's fine. You know, we'll break it down, chop it up with Bruce Cooper on J.J. Watt. Bruce is doing some very good stuff at St. Vincent de Paul, too. And we're going to argue. I'm ready to roll up sleeves and fight. I am feisty today. This is one of those days where you roll in. There's so much going on. Had a great weekend. I was able to watch the Royal interview last night. Took that in. The NBA All-Star game was fine. Bryson did his thing. We're actually going to... Bryson DeChambeau, we'll get into that later in the show after Coop. And what he did on Saturday, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of fascinated with golf, or not kind of am. And when you're able to hit a ball over water and it travels 400 yards and he just, the crowd went nuts. I mean, those are the two things over the weekend that broke the internet. Bryson hitting it over the water, and then the interview last night that Oprah did. Those were the two deals. Everything else was fine. The NBA All-Star game was fine. Chris Paul dunked a ball. Got it. LeBron said from day one, I don't really want to be here. We're in a pandemic. What are we doing with an NBA All-Star game? But, you know, they put it on last night. I watched it back this morning. It was an NBA All-Star game. All right. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. Jared Nielsen is the Iron Man. And with that, we have Claudia with us, Claudia Faust, and we have Jordan Spurgeon. They jump on in. Do you guys have a good weekend? Just jump on in, chop it up. Either one of you. I don't care. You guys have a good weekend?
It was, I guess, pretty good. I guess I could say it was pretty good.
Where were you?
I was up in El Paso.
Down in El Paso. Do you know your geography? Up would be Colorado.
Up, down.
Yeah.
10 South. Yep.
What were you doing in El Paso? There's not many reasons to go to El Paso unless it's Arizona State football and they go to a bowl game every year in El Paso. Oh, yeah. That was a cheap
shot. Not many. Just chasing down a story. The Hackbarth family, their parents are awesome and they don't miss games. So we were just seeing what it's like for them on the road, home or away. They haven't missed a game in the Twins' ASU career. So
this is softball really we're talking about for those who just joined us.
Yes. ASU softball. So they were really nice. It was a good time. El Paso was nice. They're not used to having media there at softball games. So it was a little bit of a hassle, you know, with the security, kind of where we can and can't go.
Once all we right. But did you do it with them? Were you escorted off the premises?
Yeah, just butted heads a couple times, and after a while, it was good to go. It was all good. So yeah,
welcome to security at a softball game where they just are getting paid to do nothing.
Yes,
so to speak. Claudia, what did you do this weekend?
I didn't do really anything. I was kind of bedridden all weekend.
You weren't well?
I was not doing so hot. No, not a good weekend for me. I was sleeping most of the weekend.
Yeah? Well, that's not good. Did you check out any sports? You do anything fun while you're laid up?
No.
Read anything? Watch anything? You're working on a hiking deal, right?
Yes. Didn't do much of... No hiking this weekend, which is always unfortunate for me. I love getting a hike in on the weekends. But yes, as you know, I wanted to bring a little bit of a hiking platform to Sports 360 AZ. I think a lot of people during the pandemic like rediscovered the outdoors and how much there is to do. That was something I was interested in before the pandemic. So was really unfortunate. I was in a place in Texas where there wasn't much hiking to do at all. So I was kind of in the worst place to be for that. But it's nice to be back here and getting back to hitting some hiking trails. I'm definitely not in hiking shape that I left Arizona in. So I've got to kind of rework my way back up to doing things like Flatiron out of the Superstitions or Humphreys Peak or anything like that.
Yeah, knock yourself out. You know, put the pictures up. I won't be with you. I'll go flat ground over at Santan. Well, that's cool. That's fun. What are you calling this hiking platform that you want to do? What do you think?
I had a couple ideas of my own. Brad, you sent me a couple as well. And I was like, you know what? I just want to see what people like. So I did a few polls on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, which required me doing some math, figuring out which one actually won, because I did it on three different platforms. That's when I brought in my fiance, who is more tolerant towards doing math. And he just did it real quick for me. And yeah. I've got to say that you must have made the best suggestion, because On the Rocks one for the name of the platform, which I just love the name. I was kind of leaning towards that as well. So I'm really happy that it'll be On the Rocks.
Cool. And when is this going to run? How often?
Wednesdays. And I hike every week, hopefully twice a week. So it shouldn't be a problem getting an episode out every Wednesday. Good way to plan for the weekend, or if your days off are strange, you know, Thursday, Friday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever it might be. Get that in the middle of the week, and you can plan ahead for your week how to get that hike in.
Spurge, do you hike?
I do a lot.
Yeah. Do you think you could take her on, you know, or would she just run you into the ground?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, right?
Yeah. Well,
that's an episode right there.
Team 360 challenge. I'll just throw it down. Claudia, did you see that Spurge got an award? Did you see this?
I did. I mean, he kind of posted it everywhere.
So you, you were named a national, the best college radio talk show host. Sports talk show host.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Don't nod. It's radio. How many people voted on this? Three, five?
Honestly, eight, don't know. Maybe 10, just that little. 20, that would make the most sense to me.
Thousands? Hundred thousands?
I don't know. There's a lot of schools involved. And
How does this come to be? I'm actually going to be serious now with you, because it's awesome. It's awesome. I knew from the minute that you were recommended by Coach Quintero over in San Diego that if John's saying you're going to be good, and then you went to Palomar College, where you and I both went to school, not at the same time, in case people are wondering. And so you had the pedigree going, but how did you come across this honor? How'd you find out? You were in El Paso when you found this out.
Yeah, I was in El Paso. I actually went to lunch in between games, and I was letting videos upload. They had no Wi-Fi, so I left my phone in the press box next to my laptop while videos uploaded while I was out getting lunch. So I missed the start of the awards, and for Blaze, we had like a little Zoom.
Blaze Radio is the Cronkite. If people aren't familiar with Blaze, you know.
Yeah. So Blaze Radio, our student station, we had a little Zoom with our members because we had other nominees and we were going to watch it together. And I hop on the Zoom and they're like, hey, you won. And I was like, huh? Like, I had no idea, because I totally missed it by like 20 minutes because I didn't have my phone with me. And so I just came back and we rewatched it, saw really crappy video from where I was because there was no Wi-Fi in El Paso. For some reason, it went down that weekend, of course. And so that was how I found out. And then it just started blowing up from there on Twitter, and just trying to keep up with everybody and trying to, you know, retweet things and all of that. But it was
so the award, the award is named what?
It's the 2021 IBS Golden Mike Award for Best Sports Talk Program.
I like the IBS. IBS. Really? You do fun BS? Fact, you shouldn't BS. Fun, IBS.
Fun fact, the awards were founded 3 years before IBS became the term that we all know IBS to be. So I like that. That's the fun fact I learned from Palomar College.
IBS.
Yes. I don't BS. IBS. Okay, so how many job offers have you picked up in the last 48 hours since getting said award?
Zero.
Zero.
I guess. Yeah.
You're content here though, right? Or do I could take this off. I mean, if you want, you can go do the show. I'm out.
I'm content here, Brad. one day.
All right. You sure about that? Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Great. Either one of you see the Royal interview last night, Oprah's deal? Either one of you check that out, or were you guys on the NBA All-Star game?
I was catching up this morning. I haven't been able to see it yet, but I've been reading the stories.
Claudia, did you see it?
Same thing. I think I was asleep at like 7 p.m., woke back up briefly. Yeah, I was bedridden. I feel great this morning, though.
Yeah.
So I have seen a bit about the Oprah interview. Definitely something I want to watch. I have to say, I have not followed anything with the royal family or anything up to this point, to be honest. That's just not really my thing.
It's not my interest. I mean, I've watched The Crown on Netflix. I've watched Bridgerton. And those two just have gigantic numbers. And all demos, too. Like, your guy's age, my kids. And I'm watching last night, and it starts out with, you know, Oprah talking about, yeah, we're neighbors. I'm like, okay, great. And, yeah, she dropped in that she got invited to the wedding. Okay, we got it. But it got progressively better. And it's 2 hours. I thought it was just an hour. And I'm sitting there saying, okay, I've seen enough of Meghan. And I'm not one of those royals. But today, everybody's apoplectic over this. Like, CNN is going to start doing a royal report because now they're waiting for the response. And it's for those of you who are like, Brad, just stick to sports. You're on the wrong show. When you see stuff like this, it's, yeah, this is 100 times more people are chatting about this today than the NBA All-Star game last night. Okay, so I can't believe how much play it got. And I was gripped. I did not leave. One of our producers, Brandy, kept calling me last night about a story. And it was in commercial breaks. I'd call her back like, hey, they're back. Click. And it was so rude of me, but it was like, I'm totally into it. And I'm into the process of how the interview is going. Like, tell me something I don't know. And there was a lot of that last night.
So. I'm curious. I saw a bit about some people being frustrated that Oprah was interrupting a bit. I haven't seen it. So did you feel that way? Or is that just some people?
No, I think, look, interrupting, sometimes you don't want someone when you're in it. This is just me. When someone starts to go, you got to bring them back.
Yeah.
Unless you're just in a space where you know that they're going to bring themselves back. And sometimes they may get into something that's more interesting. But if it's someone who's just all over the place, and Oprah knows these two, evidently. So, and the idea that they hadn't talked at all, and that I do believe that they weren't paid. I do believe, because they laid out the ground rules. Oprah laid them out as she sat down with them, okay? That you guys aren't being paid, and you don't know what I'm going to ask you. I do believe that to be true. That doesn't mean that she doesn't know them well enough to know what she's not going to ask you. It's like I tell you guys, I'm never going to tell you what I'm going to ask you. I never tell Eric. I never tell Jordan. I never tell... When I have a guest, and there's been a few times where PR people call and say, well, what are you going to ask them? This is the wrong show, man. We're not, the first response is the truth, the best response. If you tell them, here's five questions we're going to ask you, it's not happening on this platform. You can go lots of places, or you know when there's a friendly audience that you're going to sit down across from, that they're never going to challenge you, and they're only going to just fill 8 minutes to get to the next commercial break so they can do their live endorsement. That's media in this day and age, unfortunately, in a lot of places. Not here. And I thought last night, Oprah was paid between $6 and $8 million by CBS to do the interview. Okay. It's a great payday for her. And she deserved it. She had the relationship. She has the access. She gets them to sit down. It was shot like in the backyard of a park, you know, some estate in Santa Barbara with oak trees behind it. It was pretty. There was no studio. There was not a whole bunch of people around there. They showed the cameramen being masked up because they weren't masked up. I would say to both of you in your space where you are, take the time just to watch the process. There were times where I was yelling at the TV, push that further. And, you know, the editing part of it, too, they kept some stuff out that they'll use. CBS will use that for months.
Yeah.
You know, here's some stuff we didn't get on the air. Watch tonight. It'll get boffo ratings. So that's the way it goes. All right. Anything else before I kick you guys out? Anything you have for me today? Going once, going twice. All right. Then get out of here. Get out of here. All right. See you guys. Well, you know what? I do have something. Don't leave yet. So both of you golf a little bit. I've not been out with either one of you golfing. Did either one of you see Bryson?
Yes.
Or hear about it. Yes. Yeah.
No.
Jared, go ahead and roll this in. Claudia, I don't know if you can see on my shared screen or not, but you can go back and watch it on the screen. Here's what Bryson DeChambeau did on Saturday. And I was gripped. I was here in my office just doing some stuff and literally yelled out to my wife, hey, Bryson's going to try to clear the water. And she's totally into golf. And all I hear in the other room is, oh my gosh, I think he did it. I think he did it. And she sat there and watched him for another 20 minutes. And I'm like, hey, it's a nice day. It's almost 80. Let's go for a walk. Let's go for a hike. Let's go for a bike ride. No, Bryson's playing. So I'm held captive because my wife is all caught up in a 27-year-old who bombs it, who crushes the golf ball. And yesterday, same deal. I couldn't move between 1 o'clock and 4:30. It doesn't suck to be me when I have a wife who says, we're watching sports today. This is the way it is. We're watching golf. I'm not letting you leave. And then, hey, let's go schedule some golf because I want to hit the ball like Bryson. Of course you do, but you can't. It was fun.
Wish I could, but definitely.
Do you think more people are going to try? I think people are going to try now.
Yeah.
We'll see in the next few years. Yeah. All right, you two, get out of here. Good stuff. It's Claudia, Jordan, Spurge. Spurge, I should call him the award winner. It's no longer Spurge. It's the award winner is with us. The award winner, what show do you have today? What talk show? You can hear Spurge over on Blaze on Tuesday mornings. And if you're award winning, like you now have this hardware, I want to see the trophy at some point. I want you to hold up the trophy. You know, if they give you a shirt, I want it over that shoulder of yours rather than just the curtains. All right. If they do that, then you should probably host this show sometime so we can just see, you know, at some point. Get out of here. All right. Coop is next on the other side. Stay with us. As promised, I think I want to call this segment, I Tell You What. You know, Coop is with us, Bruce Cooper. Now with St. Vincent de Paul. Is that all you're doing after Channel 12 or what else?
You know, Brad, that's pretty much it. Other than that, I guess you could say I'm enjoying leisure life, if you will. You know, I do have a few hobbies that I still kick around a little bit, but St. Vincent de Paul is about it. I find working with them very rewarding, Brad. I mean, my eyes have been opened by so many of the different levels of services that they provide. It's really, really a rewarding experience.
Yeah, I was watching 60 Minutes last night, Bruce, and their first story was about the groups like St. Vincent de Paul and just the demands and not having enough volunteers because of COVID. So I'm sure you're seeing all sorts of things that if you were just doing sports all day and all night, you would have no idea this stuff was going on.
It made no mistake about it. And I'll tell you what, because of the pandemic, it forced a lot of the volunteers to stay at home. Of course, a lot of our volunteers are in the elderly group, the more vulnerable group. So the National Guard stepped up and really provided a lot of the workers, the volunteers for us to keep things going forward. So that was really neat for the governor to allow the military to get involved like that.
Yeah. So what are you doing there? So if people are like, well, I did not know Bruce went over to St. Vincent de Paul. What are you doing?
Well, you know, Brad, one of the things that I'm doing is trying to expose or elevate their brand from this standpoint. I came on board not knowing all the different things that they did. And I'm like, wow, if I didn't know all these different things that you're doing, how many other people like me are out there? So I'm going around and I'm actually doing some stories, and we're trying to post those and send those along to our media affiliates here to see if we can elevate or expose what we do a little bit more. And I also have Jerry Castro, such a great ambassador.
Good dude.
I've actually tagged along with him on some of the in-home visits that we do there. So yeah, those are the type of things that I'm doing.
Yeah, Steve Zabilski, who runs St. Vincent de Paul, is a good man. Yeah. I know you've spoken on Monday mornings. I've spoken on Monday mornings. I like to tell people, Bruce, a changed life will change your life. So, you know, we can do the sports stuff all day long and it's fine and it's great. And we'll get to the sports here in a second. But that's really cool that you're pouring into other people and finding that there is life outside of, you know, what you were doing for so many years. You were so good at it and so well known in the community, and it's been a good transition for you. But I do know this about you. you are very passionate still about the Cardinals. So full disclosure here, I get a call from Bruce. My phone shows up, Coop. This is like 2.5 weeks ago. And it was, hey, man, you know, the Cardinals are this, Cardinals are that, and the draft's coming up. And I'm like, dude, you have your itch. You have your mojo still. So Bruce pounded out. He's like, yeah, I'll write a little something, put it on the site about the Cardinals in the offseason. And it was like War and Peace. It was great. It was long and good. And I like long. I really do. As long as it's meat and potatoes. And that was a meat sandwich and a half. So I called Bruce this last week and said, why don't you just come on talk about the draft? You know, you have the day that J.J. Watt, it was a week ago now, J.J. Watt comes to the Cardinals. What was your initial reaction? Because you're still plugged in. What was your initial thought on the Cardinals got J.J. Watt?
Yeah. OMG. Shock, shock the house. You got to be kidding me. I was stunned. I was lost at a loss for words. I mean, if you follow this little trail of J.J. Watt, where he could possibly wind up with, you know, the Arizona Cardinals weren't in that conversation. You may have heard something from the players like DeAndre Hopkins or Chandler Jones on social media, but that was it. I mean, this came out of left field. It was a tremendous shocker. But I tell you at the same time, Brad, the more and more I digest it, I was like, wow, Steve Keim just hit a grand slam. I mean, you know, look, we can give him all the plaudits and accolades we want for robbing the Texans of DeAndre Hopkins a year ago. Yeah. I mean, but this absolutely puts them over the top on the other side of the ball now. Look, under Cliff Kingsbury the past 2 years, one of the things that we've noticed watching Cardinal games is that this defense, they can't make a stop late to get the ball back to the offense or make a stop late to win the game. Heck, I remember the San Francisco 49er game still vividly running in my head in that regard. So J.J. Watt provides them an opportunity to actually get off the field on possession downs, big downs late in the games. I just think it's just a tremendous, tremendous move. What will the defenses or defensive coordinators do? You know, yeah, you got to max protect now, but what do you roll your coverage to? Which side of the field? Chandler Jones' side or J.J. Watt's side? Oh, Brad, this was a big coup for the Cardinals.
Make okay. All right, all right, all right, all right. Now, I'm going to be that guy. Okay, 3 of the last 5 seasons, he's finished injured. They take up a lot of space. It's pretty clear Hassan Reddick's not coming back. Pretty clear that, well, I think Kenyon Drake was coming back in before, was not coming back in before J.J. Watt. Fitz's deal is still up in the air. We'll get into that in a little bit. They're tying up a lot in this guy. And I remember, and you remember, and we'll go way back here, and this was not under the Steve Keim regime. I remember when Emmitt Smith came. Oh, my gosh. We've got Emmitt Smith. It's the greatest thing ever. And he got crushed. He got lit up. And so through the years, the Cardinals will bring in guys. The other side of the coin is Carson Palmer for a bag of rocks. People are like, oh, Carson Palmer is going to Arizona for nothing. Like, what was it, a 7th-round pick? 8th-round pick? It was just nothing. And we all know how that turned out in a positive way. They'll draft a guy that we get all excited about. Michael Floyd's going to be the best receiver to come along, and he's going to be great. I'll go back to Tommy Knight and go old school with you, Bruce. And then nothing. Tommy Knight wants to talk about fishing, and Michael Floyd does nothing. So that said, my man, are you that sold on this J.J. Watt thing? Do you hear my side of the street?
Oh, sure, sure, Brad. Look. I remember the Cardinals had to make moves like Emmitt Smith, like Seth Joyner, like Clyde Simmons, like Jim McMahon. They had to go and get these old, washed up guys on their last thread because
wow, yeah, washed up. Seth wasn't washed up.
Look, let me tell you something. Emmitt Smith was very much washed up.
Yes.
This guy had no more tread left on the tires. And maybe I was a little over the board, a little harsh on some of those names. But, Brad, they needed fannies in the seat. Too many times we were seeing the other team's fans show up and populate Sun Devil Stadium. So they were trying desperately in that regard. They don't have to do that anymore. And so – J.J. Watt is so different, Brad. I know you talked about he's been injured three of the last 5 years. But let me tell you this though, Brad. When you look at the Houston Texans defense, you see that this man gets doubled and triple teamed every snap.
That's right. I mean, that's right.
Proclivity for injury now goes up, you know, as a result of that, you know. And so now you bring him to the Arizona Cardinals. Just the presence of Chandler Jones on that field is going to reduce the number of times this man gets hit. The defense has to pick his poison. And so I also look at J.J. Watt. I looked at his press conference. And, Brad, look, I'm no psychic. I'm
don't sell yourself short.
Let's get that straight. But if I were ever to believe in someone that I'm listening to, I'm looking at, I mean, it would be him in his press conference. This man is determined. This man is committed. Oh, he is so revved up for a big year. I would be shocked if we don't see a double digit sack season from J.J. Watt, and we don't see a guy who is at least in the conversation for, yeah, I'm going to say it, defensive MVP of the year.
Oh my God, Brad, that's how much I believe. You're putting too much pressure on J.J. Watt.
No. You know, Brad, did you see? He was constant smile mode. He was in constant smile mode.
Of course, he's being introduced for millions of dollars. And I would be in smile mode if it was $21 million. Bruce, here's $21 million guaranteed. You're going to smile all day long.
Brad, this man has made more money over the life of his career there. I mean, look, money is not the overriding thing that's going to keep him smiling. I really, truly believe that this man wants to prove something that Tom Brady proved last year with Tampa. You know, when you take a great player, take a great leader, and you're trying to prove something, I think that's a win-win. I know, look, people can think I'm going over the top, and you are
going over the top. It's okay.
but what I saw is what I truly believe. You know, look, there's been a lot of times that the Cardinals have made moves that I just truly didn't believe in. I still remember the DRC for Kevin Cobb trade. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, there's just moves that I see that they make that I just land blast right off the top. This isn't one of them. This really, truly isn't.
Okay, so let's run down the list then. And I'm just going to throw thumbnails at you. You wrote about this in your column a couple weeks ago, but now that the Watt trade has come down, where are you at on just come back or not come back? Patrick Peterson, come back, not come back?
Oh, he's got to come back. You know, they're not going to find anybody else on the open market better than Patrick Peterson, unless they want to pay over the top for that person, you know, and I just don't see that taking place. Patrick Peterson, can you ask the question, has he lost a step? Answer would be yes. He's not the same Pro Bowl player that he has been, but he's still very efficient, still very, I mean, there's but nobody
you could,
the
you could, better. You could let him walk and take that money on other parts and use 16 in the draft for a corner. You could do that.
But here's my problem. You look at the top rated. You took at the top rated corners in this draft. Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech, Patrick Surtain from Alabama, J.C. Horn from South Carolina. Those guys aren't even in the same ilk, the same conversation in terms of being able to shut down opposing wide receivers that those guys, they're on the same category as Patrick Peterson.
But Patrick Peterson against DK Metcalf, that's not a fair fight anymore.
Okay. It may not be a fair fight anymore, but let me ask you this. Is Farley, Surtain,
I'd rather go Surtain and get younger and better.
Well, let me tell you something, Brad. There's nothing like experience. And I tell you what, I think coming in and playing corner is one of the tougher things to do in the National Football League. Let's take this for
example. It is.
Jeff Okuda, the top-rated corner in last year's draft, went number 3 overall from Ohio State to the Detroit Lions. We never heard this man's name mentioned in any type of defensive or rookie of the year play. He was burned like a overcooked toast. I mean,
Bruce, if you're bringing J.J. Watt in, and assuming Chandler Jones is healthy, your pass rush is going to be that much better. So rather than continue to say, and I'm not sitting here today saying get rid of Patrick Peterson. I'm saying as an option, Steve Keim, if you're looking at salary cap, where the cap is lower this year, Bruce.
It is.
So you've got to look at some guys and say, are we better off bringing Patrick back for another season if the number doesn't fit? Our pass rush is going to be better. We could go draft somebody at 16, or we could trade back and get multiple picks, which I'm always more in favor of when you're not just one or two players away. And they're not one or two players away. So I guess what I look at the free agency with Patrick Peterson, I think you can go both ways. Haason Reddick, we both agree, not coming back, right?
Correct. But see, Brad, to that end that you're speaking of right there, that's where the Cardinals have to be judicious or smart in their decision making. You know, so you don't want to, you're not going to bring back, you're talking about Patrick Peterson in terms of finances and things like this. Well, okay. Let me look at that point. Or do I look at the running back position where I say, okay, it makes more sense there to let Kenyon Drake go.
We agree on that.
And then draft a running back. Because when you look at the draft, Brad, running backs are far more successful. They make far bigger impacts. In fact, there's an argument that, hey, you don't have to draft a running back in the first round. They come in and they impact whether you're drafting in the second, third, or fourth rounds. So there you're saving money at that position by going to the draft and finding a replacement at running back, as opposed to where it's so much more difficult to find an impact corner to come in. Look, we're talking about some of the elite receivers in this game today. I mean, look, do these rookies really have a chance to slow down a Michael Thomas, to slow down a DeAndre Hopkins or any of these elite receivers out there? No, I think it's tougher for them to defend elite type receivers as opposed for a running back to come in and do his thing.
But the running back thing, Bruce, Chase Edmonds, I'm fine with. And Steve showed the ability to go find Kenyon Drake off the scrap heap. Okay. There's not a chance that I would spend 16 on Najee Harris. Not a chance that I would go to ETN at Clemson. Not a chance that I would take a running back in the first round because their shelf life. Look what happened to David Johnson. These guys got the game hit out of him and gave him a big contract, and he avoided contact. And yeah, they got rid of him for a bag of rocks, sent him off, and they get DeAndre Hopkins in the deal. I get all that, but I guess I trust Steve to go find a back alongside of Chase Edmonds, because Chase Edmonds is not going to hold up through a 17-game season. No running back is in this day and age. Very, very seldom. You know, Dalvin Cook tried to hold up last season, and they drafted high to replace him, to have someone take snaps from him. So I guess I look at those two players and say, all right, what have they done to help give Kyler Murray more here in the offseason? They just put a ton of dough over on the defensive side of the football. What have they done to help? This OBJ stuff is nonsense, in my view. Nonsense. So let's not even go there. So at 16, do you take a wide receiver? Do you bring Fitz back on a smaller deal? Do you let Fitz go to, say, Tampa Bay, go chase your ring? Good luck. Are we at that point now with Fitz because so much money was given to JJ? There's not a chance Larry's going to be given 1 year, $11 million. Not a chance, Bruce.
There's not a chance, but I think Fitz also realizes that as well. And so if you're the Cardinals, look, you don't make any decisions for Fitz. He's at this point where he makes all the decisions for himself. Yep. And
agreed.
If he does decide to come back, yes, you do have to sit down with him. And Larry's a smart businessman. He knows the landscape of the NFL. I mean, the salary cap was what, $198 million this past year. It was projected to be $210 million for this 21 season until the pandemic shut everything down. So now it's around $180 million. So that's a $30 million difference relative to the cap on the negative side for players and salaries. So Fitz is very much aware of that. And so if he wants to come back, I think he realizes that he'd be coming back to play for like half of that $11 million. But Brad, at the same time, this is the same thing for all 32 teams in the NFL, not just the Cardinals. Everyone's affected by this, and so every player, every agent out there understands those circumstances. There are going to be a certain few who get their money, like J.J. Watt, and the others who are going to be looking to play more on that 1 year deal and see if they can't come back in 2022 when the cap is expected to maybe correct itself.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of 1 year deals. I agree with you on that. So a couple other questions. I'll get you out of here because I know you got to get back to work at St. Vincent de Paul. Coop is with us for a few minutes, chopping it up. Are you comfortable as we sit here today to have DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald, Andy Isabella as your wide receiving core? Or would you take 16 and try to go get a big time wide receiver to put opposite of DeAndre Hopkins? What essentially you're saying is Christian Kirk is never going to be more than what he already is. Wide receivers, break it down. What do you see?
Well, there are a number of wide receivers in this draft that are certainly going to be sensational players in this league. I think we all know who they are. Jamar Chase from LSU, who opted out, this past season because of COVID. Devontae Smith, who was the Heisman Trophy winner, and then his teammate, Jalen Waddle. Those guys, they're all terrific. They're regarded as the top three receivers in this game. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't fall asleep on Rashad Bateman over at Minnesota. You don't have to move up to get him. But to answer your question about do I draft a receiver at 16 or maybe even Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida, if he falls there? I mean, look, you can't go wrong with any of those guys. Trust me, I would not have a problem with that, but I would not trade up to try and get a player. I think this is a very deep wide receiver class. I think you can, the Cardinals aren't looking to find a number one, and we've identified those other receivers as number one type players. They just need a good number two. And I think you can find that in the free agent classes as well. I mean, I love the kid, Curtis Samuel. He's a 4 year player from Ohio State, he's played at Carolina Panthers. I think this guy would step in and be a tremendous asset, a great number two for the Cardinals, because he can do so many things in this Cliff Kingsbury type offense. I mean, he can take that bubble screen. He's like a wide receiver. You know, he reminds me so much of Brandon Ayuk of Arizona State. It's not even funny. I mean, he's great at, or even Deebo Samuel with the 49ers. Yeah. Great. They're like running backs once they get the ball in their hands. I think this kid, whether it's wide receiver reverses, bubble screens, he's a guy that can impact them greatly in free agency. So I'm kind of anxious to see what Kime will do after J.J. Watt in free agency.
Okay, so at 16, I'm of the opinion they still need to bolster the offensive line more than add wide receiver. And I'm talking about both free agency and the draft. Look, if you give Kyler more time, and I get your point about the running back, but I do think I think Chase can do some of that. They need someone else alongside of him. But I do think if you look at the offensive line, and it's not sexy and it's never sexy, you got to do something because this is coming into year three for Kyler. This is usually, Bruce, where we understand, okay, this kid can't play or this kid can play long term. It's usually around year three. And the same thing for Cliff. Cliff's on the seat this year, in my opinion. You know, the lifespan of a Cardinal coach is about 3.2 years, and I'm not joking on that. You just go look at how often they're here, unless their last name is Wisenhunt or Arians, and Arians chose to get out of here. So, you know, offensive line to me at 16 today is where I would say focus on that, please, or please go out in free agency and find ways to address that. Because Kyler still is running for his life.
Yeah. Brad, look, there are a number of offensive linemen, and I think if you look at last year's draft with Tristan Wirfs in particular, I mean, and Mekhi Becton, who the Jets took, I mean, those guys were tremendous offensive players in their rookie seasons with their respective teams. So yeah, I hear what you're saying there, but look, there are a couple small school players that I'm looking at in like around the third, fourth round. I know the Cardinals don't have a fourth round pick this year, but look, Spencer Brown, and I'm going to smaller schools. Spencer Brown, Northern Iowa. I mean, this guy, Brent, he's a former tight end. He's 6'9". He's about 325 now. And if you watch his feet, if you watch his footwork, I mean, he went viral on social media by benching 500 pounds. I think this guy would be perfect for the Cardinals at five. And then, look, I'm not a big Mason Cole fan. I just didn't think that he played well at all. Look, I love this kid from Wisconsin Whitewater, Division III player. But if you watched him in the Senior Bowl, I mean, he just tore up those Power 5 defensive linemen rep after rep. I mean, day after day. It was incredible to watch. Quinn Miners. So I think the Cardinals can address that offensive line, not necessarily in the first round, Brad, but, you know, on day two, where I really love these two players. And I really, you know, want fans to keep an eye out for these two names, Spencer Brown, Quinn Miners. I think they're going to be terrific offensive linemen in the National Football League. And you didn't get them in the first round.
There's Coop. You have to get back to work. What are you doing today over at St. Vincent de Paul? What is on your agenda today?
Well, I'm trying to line up a couple stories. One involves a young lady who lost her leg and lost her job during the pandemic. But she's such an inspiration. I mean, she's got her prosthetic leg now, and she's looking to rebound and go back to work. But trying to line that up for us to go out and get that story done, Brad.
Cool. Have a good day. It was fun.
Hey. Hey, thank you. We'll definitely have to do this again, Brad.
You didn't yell and scream at me. You didn't throw stuff at me through Zoom. You know, get out of here. God have a good day. There's Coop with us.
Thank you very much, Brad. Thank you.
And we're back with more after this timeout.